speaks in our lives. And if you have your worksheet, get that in front of you, as tonight, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is where we'll start. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, how many of you need a worksheet? Somehow you got in tonight and did not receive the worksheet. We've got a number that are going to need a worksheet, so if our ushers could make their way with a worksheet to each of those who have their hand raised. Get your pen, get your pencil ready. Here we go. 10 ways that the Lord speaks. To get to the 10 ways that the Lord speaks, I want to start by reminding us where we've been. Because we are studying hearing the voice of the Lord. And we found that hearing the voice of the Lord is extremely crucial in fulfilling the call. We even have a... So, get your answer ready.
It's a Wednesday night. It's the middle of a very, very busy season in your life. And an even busier...
How you fought through traffic.
Fought through homework. Fought through the science fair project that's due tomorrow that you won't find out about until tonight when you get home. And you made it to church. One thing you need from church on a Wednesday night in the middle of a busy season and a busier day is... fill in the blank. One thing you need, one thing that will help you in your journey of faith. Bob, you need love. Inspiration. Fellowship. We're going to practice that. Let's stand to our feet. Let's find someone to love, inspire, and fellowship with. On your mark, get set, go. And that concludes our kind of love, fellowship, and inspiration. Now, I'm establishing from the very beginning that there's a real power in hearing someone's voice. That voice can give instruction. That voice can give direction. Now, I'm going to ask a couple people to just, in a moment, help me out. I'm going to ask Tom to help me. I'm going to ask Dean to help me. I'm going to ask Daryl Yance to help me. Now, those three people whose names I've called, I do not want you to bow your head. Everybody else in just a moment is going to bow their heads and they're going to put their thumbs up just like this. How many of you remember that game? How many of you would enjoy that? And it would inspire you and you'd feel love if you did that. And it would be a time of fellowship. We're not going to do that, but what we're going to do is we're going to let one of the three individuals talk for just a minute. You may say a little something about your family. You may say a little something about how beautiful today was. You may tell us the most, you know, your most favorite sports team. The rest of us are going to close our eyes. We're just going to hear. We're just going to listen. So would everyone please close your eyes and no looking around like it's the altar call. And with eyes closed, with the exception of the three, I'm going to start pointing at them, and they're going to just randomly say something. You're going to guess who belongs to that voice and whose voice that belongs to. Heads up, and here we go. Who was that talking? How did you know that was Tom? You know his voice. Well, how did you know his voice? Because he heard it? Because he's behind you. This went over a lot better on paper when I was writing this out. Here, I can just tell you. How do you know he's behind you? He's always there. But how do you know he's always back there? Excuse me? You've seen it. So there's some familiarity with Tom. familiarity with his voice, where he sits. There's familiarity with his tone. There's familiarity because over and over again, you've seen him watch your back. So you know where Tom is, because Tom's always where? His back. And you know that because you've experienced that. Now take that and just move that over into your relationship with God. Do some parallels there. How do you know where God speaks? How do you know when God speaks? You sit down with him. He interrupts you. Hopefully you recognize it. He has a unique voice. How does his voice sound? Is it male or female? Is it soprano or bass? Is it tenor or alto? See, there's a lot to be said about God's voice. And sometimes we get lost in all of these voices that are talking to us about our life. Life is filled with a lot of voices, and voices have an influence, and voices have an effect on us. We even at times hear our own voice. And we have found that through the years, there are times it's difficult to tell our voice from the enemy's voice from the Lord's voice. Because sometimes they all sound the same to us. That's why we as believers really have to have an understanding of God's Word, because God's Word helps us in discerning and knowing God's voice. It tells us where God sits in the room. It reminds us that he's always sitting there. This written word always will line up with his spoken word. And his spoken word will always line up with his written word. And it's important that we establish some of this understanding,
because over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at the 10 ways that the Lord speaks. He's not confined to those. He's not limited to those. Like human beings, he speaks to us verbally. He speaks audibly. He speaks, he writes, he talks, he does, he draws, he creates, and he projects. God has something to say, and it's in his heart, and it's desire for you and I to hear him and know with confidence his voice. So close your eyes. Let's try it again. Good. Open our eyes. Who just spoke? Now, how did you know that? Excuse me? You know his voice? You recognize his voice? Process of elimination? Wow. Again, this example continues to break down. I'm dying up here, but thank you, Wendy. Yes. Yes. Can tell this group has come with their A game. Now, in all likeliness, there are individuals that haven't had a chance to get to know Daryl Yance. For years now, he's been working back in our Rangers program on Wednesday night. On Sunday mornings, he's very involved with the ushers. He's very involved at times teaching. So there's the likelihood that some of us don't know Daryl. Is there somebody that would raise your hand and say, that was a new person to me? That was a new voice to me. Ray and Wendy. That's why it's so important for us to get familiar with God's Word. Because God's Word and the knowledge of it gives us that confidence that comes with familiarity. We know His voice, and we then can discern when it's somebody else's voice. One more try. Close your eyes. I feel like praising him. My name is Dina, and I'm praising him. Okay, open your eyes. Who was it? No, that voice said it was Dina. The process of elimination was Tom Daryl, and now Dina.
Dina does not have a microphone.
Dina, maybe we slipped her the cordless. How do you know that wasn't Dina? That voice said... Now, our ushers are bouncers, and how do we throw our bouncers out? Do the other bouncers come in and carry them out, or how does this work? Another voice sang, imitated, disguised, masqueraded praise. A person, a position. Now, immediately you knew there was an imposter. Though you were wowed by the voice, you knew there was an imposter. Now, all this fits because in your notes, Romans chapter 10 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word or the voice of God. Many times our faith does not come forth because we may be listening to the wrong voices. We may be entertaining a voice that's an imposter, something or someone that's masquerading as God's word. Now, in the last few weeks, we've looked at when the voice of the Lord speaks over our lives, and we found these 10 things to be true. Number one, when the voice of the Lord speaks over our lives, it travels powerfully and swiftly to fulfill His promises. Number two, it connects us to the cross in an ever-increasing intimacy and glory. So for those of you that are keeping score and filling in the blanks, it connects us to the cross in an ever-increasing intimacy and glory. Number three, it brings a new capacity to receive all that heaven has. We've seen in the last few weeks that God desires for you as individuals and as families to receive all that heaven has. Number four, when the Lord's voice speaks over our lives, it is filled with majesty and it accomplishes everything and anything that He's purposed in our lives. The fruit attached to His voice is abundant, ripe, sweet, and satisfying. Number five, this voice of the Lord, when spoken into our lives, breaks every stronghold, every thought, every emotion that opposes His plans and His purposes for our life. Number six, this voice creates. It creates a clearing in our heart for the seed of His word to be planted and to flourish. Number seven, it frees us from the things that limit and restrict us in our life. Number eight, it leads us beside still waters, and it's His voice that brings peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding to our souls. Number nine, this voice of the Lord, when spoken, places things in complete perspective. When God speaks, it lights up our heart like lightning in a sky. It lights up things in our heart like lightning, and we see things the way He is. Not the way we are, and not exactly where we are, but when the Lord speaks and we hear, and we obediently obey, then it lights up things in our life, and we see things and discern things that may or may not have been there. And finally, when God speaks, He speaks to the things in our life that be not as though they are. Psalms 29 begins in verse 3. I'm reading from the Amplified, and you can follow along. This is our subject, and this is our passage that we're studying. It says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, and the Lord is upon many great waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord splits and flashes forth forked lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the wilderness tremble, and the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds' feet bring forth their young, and His voice strips bare the forest, while in His temple everyone is saying, glory. There's 10 ways that we're going to look at the Lord speaking. Number one, He speaks with words. Number one, He speaks with words. Secondly, He speaks through prophecy. A third way He speaks is through angelic visitations. So tonight we're going to look at words, prophecy, and angelic visitations. You can go on and you can see that he speaks through visionary experiences, revelation, impressions, pictures, an inner voice, an audible voice, and something that I'm going to finish with, he speaks through unusual things. We're going to go to a story in the New Testament that talks about how the Lord uses a donkey to talk. And that donkey talks, and finally a man hears, and finally obeys the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." I think the Lord desires us to have a confidence in hearing His voice. How many of you have found at times it's difficult to discern His voice? Or is it just me that sometimes the pressures in life have many, many voices, and they sound like a river that's about near flood stage, and it's screaming through our emotions, it's screaming through our fears, it's screaming at us through our circumstances, and sometimes it just feels like there's so many voices that it can be next to impossible to discern God's voice. That's why it's so wonderful to know that you have been ordained by God to hear His voice, and that one word is all you need, and one word from God spoken in your spirit can change everything and anything. So if you have your Bibles tonight, get ready, because here we go. We're going to first of all look at how God speaks to us through words. If you would go to Luke chapter 21 and verse 33, and it's here that we begin to grow the thought of how God uses words to speak to us. You see, we are the people of the book. He has revealed His will, His plans, and His actions in His book. We have His plan to live our lives by. And it's important that we allow our lives to grow from these very pages, because these very pages of His book are filled with His promises, His instructions, and His blessings. And Luke chapter 21 says in verse 33 that the sky and the earth will pass away. But what does it say about His words? His words will never, ever pass away. The beauty of God's words are that the words of God carry an eternal value, that His word literally connects our life to eternity. His word secures our future, and it's filled with every instruction, every teaching, and every direction that we need for godly and successful living. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, because it drives this thought home. This word is so powerful that in it, if we search for it like silver and like gold, we can find every instruction, every teaching, and every directive needed for godly and successful living. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, says, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them means and obeys them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, and wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came." I think in that passage we see that rains are going to fall, floods are going to come, winds are going to blow and beat against our house, beat against our heart, beat against our lives, beat against our faith. Yet notice it says it did not fall, because that person had founded their life on the rock of His word. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and then does not do them will be like a stupid or a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it." God speaks to us through, again, the point is, words. It's not enough just to hear the word. There's that action step. There's that application step. There's that step that says, okay, now I know what to do. Will I possess the courage to do it? Now, I'm going to rewind the time machine, and I'm going to go back to 1995. Your pastors were miserable. We were not yet pastors of Dominion Church. This wonderful church that you have helped to build had not yet began. It was a desire in our heart. We desired, there was a stirring, and God began to speak to us, and that there was something beyond where we were. We were miserable. God ever speak to you and stir you up and give you an appetite for something you've not yet seen, but you hope for? And that's where we were. And I began to have just dreams and visions and impressions and ideas, and this creative thing got released in me. And what would it look like someday to do something great for God? What's my next step for God? Well, I remember us flying out to Kentucky because we were just sure that we had paid our dues and we felt like we were going to get out of youth ministry altogether and that we were going to go to Kentucky and that we were going to take kind of an assistance position. And because we had paid our dues and that church had been through 8.5 years of real pain, we thought that we were going to fly out to Kentucky, take a safe position in a church of about 500. They were going to get us a nice 5,000 square foot parsonage and a nice car allowance and a salary that was more than the $21,000 a year that we were making at the time. And we just knew that we had paid our dues and that that's what God was saying. So we fly out there and they just pick us up in a Mercedes. They take us to a fancy restaurant. They buy us a steak. They tell us how wonderful the church is. And we leave Nashville and we drive to Madisonville, Kentucky. And the Goodmans, I don't know if you know Vestal and Howard Goodman, at that time they were still alive. And they were telling us this is their home church and we've been to Nashville and we've already been to a recording studio. And with your voice, we're going to go places. And Pastor Greg, with your preaching ability, we're just going to reach Kentucky for the glory of God. We're in this building, but we're building a sanctuary that's going to seat 10,000. And we had a youth pastor that didn't work out, and we had bought him a car. And when he left, he didn't take it with him. And we're going to give you guys a almost brand new Grand Am car. And we were there, and Dina was pregnant with our second baby. And I mean, the first child was born 8.5 weeks premature. We had $80,000 in hospital debt. And on the salary of $21,000 a year, it's a little hard to repay that $80,000. Now, you've never been in that kind of position before, so work with me. So here we are, and we just know our dreams have come true. It's like going to Disney World for a preacher. We're wanted. They love us. They tell us all these wonderful things. You hear the voices. That new car has a voice. Come to Daddy. We went and we found a house. And we were poor and we told them we have no money down. And they said, that's okay. We're going to sell the church van and we'll put that down and we'll make that payment for you guys. We go to this beautiful house. They actually have more than one season there each year. They have a fall. They have a winter. We might wear these sweaters that are 10 years old, brand new and worn once. How many of you got a whole drawer of them right now? So here we are. We're in the middle of this. We've been swept off our feet. There's voices on the inside saying, yes, this is it. You've won the jackpot. You are the lottery winners. You've earned this. You deserve this. Can you feel the love? Yes. Where do I drink the Kool-Aid? Where do I sign with my blood? It all felt good on the outside. All sounded good at some level on the inside. Ever been there before? And you've been praying and saying, oh God, release me. And you almost allowed yourself to be satisfied with, oh God, just relieve me. See, being relieved of something is not the same as being released from something. It was bad going on a long time for us. And so we go up there and we just get bamboozled. And we come home, and I tell my boss, we are 99.9% sure that we're going to take this position. And we're going to Kentucky, and we're going to wipe the dust off. Well, I didn't tell him that part of this. But anyway, so what we did was, we came home. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting in my office, and I'm dreaming of actually having spending money. I'm thinking, man, it'll be really nice to pay the bills. Wow, to have two cars and at least one of them running. You know, ever keep your car going on baling wire and duct tape? How many of you have prayed it to start before and had to pray for it to turn off once you got where you were going? Well, see, we'd kind of been there for a while. We'd kind of done that for a while. We were probably wide open to the enemy and his voice. And all these voices sounded so convincing. Dina's papa was probably in his mid-70s. Never said much I could understand because he was a coonie. Always left us alone, but was always a rock of strength and encouragement to us. Never told us how to live our lives or what to do in life. But I'm in my office spending money I hadn't made yet. I'm thinking about the new raise. I'm excited because we're going to have real insurance and we're going to be able actually to pay for this baby and quite possibly start paying back some of the $80,000. I mean, we had 20 bills at that time. I was paying anywhere from $5 a month to $15 a month on. And I'm sure you've never been there before, but work with me. Because anything and everything in our life that could have just been hit by a hurricane had been. We had been through a physical hurricane. We had been through a spiritual hurricane, an emotional, and a mental hurricane. If you could experience, we had experienced it. And now here seems to be the lottery. When suddenly a knock comes to my door, I open the door and it's Dina's papa. He walks in and he looks at me and he's got coffee kind of running down this side of his mouth and some donut in the corner. He had just been to Shipley's. He'd never done this up to that point in time, and he never did it after it. He looked at me and said, "What do you want to do, go to Kentucky? You go to miss God. You need to get right here and just obey God. You don't need to mess things up. You go to Falth." I think I've got the wrong accent, but you get the idea. And then he gets up and he leaves. And boy, sometimes that's where the voice of God is. Not in the 99.999, but it's in that 0.001 part. And I remember going home and kind of telling Dina and kind of like, "Can you believe your papa said that?" And I could. And I started feeling sick inside, like, "Ooh, something's not right here." Well, that I told her and she dismissed it. And so we flew to Kentucky the next week. Meanwhile, here at the ranch in Pasadena, the church announced our youth pastors, our associate pastors are in Kentucky this morning, 99.99% sure they're going to take this job. And we'll be losing them soon. No sooner had we got up there than it had begun to unravel. And the rest, as they say, is history. We heard the voice of the Lord in the still, small part of everything going on around us. It was just a word. It was just an impression. It was just a thought. And it flew against the grain of everything our natural man wanted. We wanted relief. God had something greater in mind. He had a release. We came home, and the first thing I did when I landed was I called my boss. He wasn't in his office. He was in the medical center. I drove that car faster than it had ever been driven before, and I drove down to the medical center, caught him in front of Texas Children. I said, "You remember how you were announcing that it was 99.99% that we were leaving, and we were pretty sure? Well, how about that other percent that wasn't sure? Because we didn't take that job. And we want to know, is there a place on the staff that we can still serve? Because we're back, if you'll have us." He was loving and gracious and let us stay. The end of the story of that is, from that point on, God began to speak to us about starting this church. And within a year's time, we began this church, and I'll never forget leaving Pasadena, and we were debt free. And God did a series of miracles to relieve us of the $80,000 of hospital debt. See, God's word can change everything and can change anything in your life. But you have to have not just the courage to hear it, but you got to just do it. Which brings us to prophecy. I believe that God communicates to us through prophetic utterances. He uses a variety of ways to get his message across to us. He uses a messenger, a pastor, a preacher, an apostle, a prophet, and a prophetic voice that speaks something over your life. I think that's a more dramatic way that he uses prophetic utterances or prophecy, but I think he also uses someone who comes up, and it's not as noticeable, but they just come with an encouraging word or even an encouraging prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks a little bit about that, and here's my point about prophecy. How many of you know that God uses people to help you find your way? That God will use people. God will use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God will use prophecy to encourage you, to strengthen you, to build you up, and to help give you a directive for your life. But can I tell you this? Messengers, prophets, are fallible. The message may indeed originate from the Lord, but when filtered through someone's mind and heart, it can become distorted. And I'm convinced that the Lord did not make us gullible in our beliefs. that all prophetic utterances to and through us should be able to stand the test of the Word of God. If not, then I think we have to have the courage to discern it, and if it's not of God and it doesn't line up with His Word, we need to discard it. In your notes, notice I said this in big bold letters: don't ever make important life choices based on prophecy alone. God uses prophecy. I think He does it powerfully. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for how He uses them. But please don't ever make important life choices based on prophecy alone. The Lord will confirm prophetic utterances in His Word. It says in 1 Corinthians this, chapter 2 and verse 14, But the non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are meaningless nonsense or folly to that person, and he is incapable of knowing them or of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. This is the Amplified. It says, but the spiritual man, this is what the spiritual man does. He tries all things. He examines, he investigates, he inquires into, he questions, and he discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Again, we've got to make sure that we never make important life choices based on just prophecy alone. I'll never forget when a well-meaning friend of ours found out that Dina was pregnant, and he began, as he found out she was pregnant with Morgan, he began to tell her, the Lord has shown me, it's a boy. It's a boy. And that didn't line up with the Word. Okay, well, I couldn't find anything else to say, so I said that. It didn't line up with God's Spirit in us, and it didn't line up with what the ultrasound was saying. But he was so sure it was a boy. And he would call, and he would leave messages on our voicemail, and he would say, so how's the little boy doing? Dina's going to have a boy. Well, when that little girl came forth, he called and he said, well, how is that little boy doing? And I said, well, she's doing really good. Her name's Morgan Delane. And he's like, well, you're going to have another boy. Or you're going to have another child, and it's going to be a boy. There's been other times that people have come and prophesied. And they've said, and you're going to have, and they would just prophesy all of these things. Can I encourage you to get into God's Word and to know His Word? Because His Word is going to discern things. His Word is going to test things. His Word is going to examine things. Proverbs 18 and 21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want to make sure that every day I eat and feast from the fruit of His whole Word. I appreciate the times that somebody knows in part and prophesies in part. And you know, when they do, your spirit is going to feel something inside. Your spirit is going to leap, and your spirit is going to have a sense of peace, and you're going to have a confidence. But all too often in 24 years of ministry, I've watched people throw the disciplines of the full counsel of the Word off to the side and run after a prophetic word, run after a promise. I've watched people get called into full-time ministry because someone said, I sense a calling of God on your life. You are destined to be a mighty preacher. And then they'd go out, quit their job, and try to become that mighty preacher. And it was very obvious that they were anointed to work in a plant. They were anointed to work in an area of business, but they weren't anointed to work full-time in the King's business. I've seen people be told through prophecy that don't worry about those bills. God is going to bless you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I've seen people not worry about their bills and not pay them, and then be shocked when God didn't. I can just hear the conversation now. American Express, I'm Judy. How can I help you? This is Jehovah Jireh. I'm calling to pay Greg's bills. I'm using MasterCard number 777. I mean, I've had people call the church and say that God told them that somebody in the church was supposed to donate a car to them, and they were calling to see if that car was here yet. I tried to give them Clint's. They wouldn't take it. I think sometimes you and I live in a world that chips away at our hope But we should never let it chip away at our belief. We should never become gullible in our belief. That when God uses prophecy or a prophetic messenger or a tongue and interpretation or some type of speaking to us, there should always first be a peace in our heart. There should be a settledness in our heart. It should line up with the disciplines and the counsels of God's word. And the beauty of God speaking into our life is that it does encourage, it does uplift, it does build us up in our most holy faith, but it doesn't replace our holy disciplines. I thought that was going to really go over well. But I've watched people even prophesy curses into people's life. I've watched people say, if you don't get up under the covering of this church and this pastor, then calamity is going to come to your house. I guess I've just been around long enough to see the enemy come in and steal from us something that God uses and desires to use to help us with confidence know this is the way, walk in it. If somebody prays over you, if somebody wants to pray for you, start discerning. Start the discerning process. It's hard for me when somebody's not living their life on a consistent basis and aren't consistently overcoming in their life. It's hard for me personally to receive prayer from them. Now, that's just me. I'm not saying that's the word. That's me. When somebody wants to pray for me, I don't just let anybody just come pray for me because I don't know where they've been. I don't know what they've been doing. And there's a lot of self-anointed, self-appointed people in this world that have a lot to say about a lot. But is it what I need to hear? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, the full counsel of God, when you've been around God's voice, your little button's going to come on. There's a little light that's going to come on. Kind of like when your gas gets low, there's a little light that comes on. Some call it an idiot light. Pull over, fill up and get some gas. You idiot. I've heard that said. But the point I'm making is that when somebody wants to prophesy over your life, plead the blood over yourself. Become not suspicious, but discerning. Guard your faith. Guard what you've been reading in God's word. Guard what you've been hearing. Ask yourself, does that person's life consistently live lined up with God's word? Ask yourself, what do I know about them? I know that as pastors, we've become more and more selective about the voices that come and stand in our pulpit to preach. Because people have been gullible through the years just to take at face value what people have said. So guard yourself and understand that Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16 says, but if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. When somebody does pray over my life and God does use the prophetic, I like to submit it to Dina. And Dina's gotten really disciplined about writing it down or getting a copy of it. And you know, sometimes we'll put it to the side and we'll just say, let's let time interpret this. Let's let God interpret this. When God speaks to your life, you don't have to make it happen. But all too often, people are out there trying to make God's word happen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And no portion of God's word will ever take place of the whole counsel of God's word. See, I think this is supposed to be an energized church family. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be active in this body of believers. I believe strongly that God uses prophecy to help us. But never is it meant to replace the disciplines of God's word in my life. I want to close tonight by saying that I still believe that another way that God communicates is through angelic visitation. Sometimes we see that, or let me just stop and say, we see this angelic visitation throughout the whole Bible. Sometimes angels visited people with specific and detailed instructions, and other times they appear without detailed instruction. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we find that these angels appeared to the shepherds, and they sang praises to God. Now, I want to remind us that angels are messengers and servants of God. Psalms 91 says, for he will give you his angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The reminder here is that the anchor in life that connects us to God and stretches through eternity is the Word of God. Should we ever experience an angelic visitation, we should always judge the experience, the message, or the revelation within the context and the grain of the Bible. Now, here's the scripture that kind of ties a lot of our thoughts together tonight. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, "For Satan himself transforms, he masquerades, and he disguises himself as an angel of light." Yes, I do believe that God still visits his people. I do believe that there are times that there are dramatic instances. I don't know that this is the norm. I get a little concerned when it becomes the norm in someone else's life. For a season, I was receiving emails from a fella. And this is where I'm going to close tonight. I still believe that God uses angelic visitations. I think we see them more in the Old Testament than we do in this day and time, but I do know of some very valid testimonies that people have experienced the presence of the Lord. I can say there's been times that we've woken up and we have felt that there was some sort of heavenly presence that visited our house. And we can give you testimonies of our oldest daughter being healed not once but twice supernaturally, both times with doctor's reports to prove it. And we would wake up the next morning, and through the night, we would testify of having felt like the presence of the Lord was so strong in our house, it almost felt like a visitation. But here's the point. For a while, I was getting emails from a guy who considers himself a prophet, has set himself up a little web page that if you want to go visit his site, you can, and that for a love offering, you can get a word. Seems innocent enough. Let me give you the web page. I noticed that some of you are already wanting it. He would often send me emails. And in these emails, he would talk about how he had begun to see a lot of angels. And that these angels were speaking divine revelation to him. And that these angels were showing him divine instructions. About everything from elections to leaders to church problems. And he would send out these very convincing emails that you could tell he would have some sort of an emotional experience, some sort of an experience that then he would run to the Word and try to throw Scripture beside it and on top of it. Does anything about this story concern any of you? What? Should come from the Word of God. It's up and down. Shouldn't have to pay for a word from God. That's exactly right. Somebody else. What concerns you about that? Now, why does it concern you? Let's move to that. Why does that concern you? Why should it concern you? It'll wreck your life. You can be deceived. Am I the only one that's heard of these kind of things? Well, he writes me and he asks me in one email, well, what do you think? I don't know that I really remember what I wrote back to him, but I'm sure that I couldn't tell him everything that I thought. Because for me, it was a concern when the object of his affection and his intentions were the angels and their visitations and their activities instead of the visitation of the holy presence of God and his activity. Because where there is the holy presence of God, there is the authority of God. And where there is the authority of God, there is the ability of God. And I close tonight by simply just saying this. Here lies the authority, the ability, and the presence of God. This word does not return void. Its promises for your life are yes and amen. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? I just speak the word of the Lord over every one of you tonight and just in Jesus' name declare that He is your refuge. He is your strong tower. He is your strength. He is your peace. He is your all in all. And that tonight, the cross of Jesus Christ still stands. That 2,000 years later, the stripes of Jesus Christ still heal. And tonight, His desire is to heal marriages, desires to heal bodies, and desires to heal circumstances. And God, I thank You for Your Word, and I celebrate Your Word, and declare we are people of His Word. That we can be mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and that we do not have to walk deceived, we do not have to walk threatened, and we do not have to walk defeated. but we are overcomers and we are conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen.